turn into your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible says there, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters, and cast salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears of the wood, and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us today, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, it has been on my heart to attack the bad behavior of mocking the obvious. Some people are obviously bald, and yet sometimes we mock that. Some are obviously short, and yet some of us mock that. Some are obviously getting older, and that's mocked too. This has been on my heart for a while, and I do not believe that we as Christians should demonstrate such behaviors towards each other. We should be greatly convicted in teasing or mocking the brethren. By way of introduction, I'll mention about four things about saying things we shouldn't say. As it pertains to mocking what's obvious, we know that some people are short, and they know that they're short, so why remind them of that? Some people are bald. We know they're bald, and they know they're bald. Why mock them about that? Some people are getting older, and they know they're getting older. Why make fun of that? It's not edifying, and it causes offenses. I want you to notice with me by way of introduction. Number one, you don't have to mention it. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Sometimes you can think it, but it's best not to say it, lest offenses come. We must use fitting words, as the Bible says. Christians are very famous for saying stupid things towards each other. Why is that? It's because they abuse Psalm 119, verse 165. Let's turn there very quickly. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says in the wonderful word of God, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I believe that this verse is talking about a person who follows the word of God will not be offended in the word of God. It's worth it all to follow God and his commandments. You say, what if we get martyred? We go to heaven. We don't ever regret serving the Lord. You say, what if we lose our job? The Lord will bless us. Anyone that follows the Lord doesn't get any repercussions of following the Lord. We win at the end. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. When the preacher is preaching something out of the word of God, and you, beloved, who love the word of God, won't have any problem with the preacher who preaches out of the word of God. A Christian, I'll mention his name, Dr. Kirk DeVito. He's on this program. If you scroll, he's on our podcast. If you scroll down, you'll see his name. But when he got saved, he read in the Bible how it's a shame for a man to have long hair. He looked at that, and at the time, he did have long hair. He read that verse, and he looked at his wife. Honey, he said, honey, get the scissors and cut his hair off. What is that? What is that? Well, Mr. Dr. Kirk DeVito is an example of Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love the law. Dr. Kirk DeVitro loved and still loves the Word of God and cut his hair as a young man. And it says, and nothing shall offend him. People who are offended by that commandment, they do not love the Word of God. So let's not abuse that Bible verse and give excuse for us to say mean and stupid things to each other. Point number two, mocking the beloved is wrong. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This is what we should be doing, beloved. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto its hearers. It's never edifying, mocking the brethren. It doesn't help, and the church shouldn't have any place for that. Let me read that last part again. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's never edifying, mocking the brethren. We have no place for that in the house of God or in our lives. Number three, don't call people ugly. When you call a person ugly in reference to his or her shape and looks, you're insulting God's creation. You're insulting God's handiwork. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image, and an image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Beloved, every time when you call an individual an ugly person because you don't admire that person's looks, you're insulting God's handiwork. Number four, don't mock a person's age. Getting old is due to the curse of sin. Why mock a man's age? Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Getting old is a result of the disobedience of Adam, and therefore we inherited death because of that person's disobedience. And you can see that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. God warned Adam, if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And thus, getting old is a result of Adam's disobedience. Let's not make a mock at the results of sin. Wow. What I want to preach on today is mocking the obvious. Mocking the obvious. In our text here, we have Elisha, whose mentor was Elijah. Elijah got translated into heaven, the rapture, if you will. He got called up into heaven in a very mighty and interesting way. God set him in a chariot and in a tornado or whirlwind, as it is also called. He was gathered up into heaven alive. He was translated, caught up. So now Elisha is filling the shoes of Elijah, his mentor. And he has the hand of God on him. He has a double portion of God on Elisha now. And he's being used of the Lord. Notice with me in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, and actually verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And the Lord was in this. And the Lord did give Elisha a double portion of Elijah's spirit upon his life. And it began to be used of the Almighty God. It says in verse 19 that the land was beautiful. However, the water was treacherous and poisonous and killing people. So through the power of God invested in the life of Elisha, Elisha told the people of the inhabitants that God healed the waters. It says in verse 20, and he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And it went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Did you catch that? It says, thus saith the Lord. The Lord did all the work, but who was his vessel, his instrument, God's voice? It was Elisha, bearing good news, glorifying the mighty hand of God. And that's what the ministry is for. That's what preaching is for, is to show how good God is and telling men and even the heathen how good God is. So what does that mean then, to be used of God? That means Elisha was the man of God. So point number one, don't mock the man of God. And he definitely was. You can see that the Lord was using him. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:22, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Yes, Elijah was bald and he knew that, but mocking Elisha, a man of God, offends his God, the God Almighty. May I ask you a question? Do you mock the man of God? Do you mock other Christians? Do you tease their appearance? Do you tease their looks? Do you tease their shortcomings? Matthew 18:6. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto that man by whom the offenses cometh. After reading that, I will advise you, it's probably good not to mock the brethren. Mocking the men of God will come back to haunt you. You're going to get old one day. For some, you'll get bald one day. Some of you might lose some height due to arthritis and surgeries. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap what you sow. You sow corruption, you'll get corruption. Therefore, teasing the brethren could come back to haunt you. It's always amazing to me how I've seen some tease the brethren. And when they get a taste of their own medicine, they're the ones who are the most offended. Such a behavior is a very self-centered attitude and ungodly. Elisha was a man, was God's man, who has the double portion of Elijah's spirit on him, and offending him really made God upset. It says in verse 23, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Beloved, Elisha already knew he was bald. And some of you already know that individual is short. Some of you already know that individual is fat. Some of you already know that individual has no hair. Some of you already know that individual who you're teasing has some type of issue with him, but yet you mock him for it. You really think he enjoys that? No, it doesn't matter if it's your best friend. People cannot take mocking for so long. In verse 24, it says, and he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Uh-oh, he got his God involved. The Lord was angry. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Why did this happen? You see, Elisha was close to God, and God takes great offense when his people are mocked. Let us all remind ourselves that it's never a good idea to mock the brethren.